may be seated. I'll read the gospel lesson in a couple of moments, but by way of introduction, I want to give some explanation of that half sheet of paper that was handed to you, and blame my wife for that, because a couple of months ago, Bryant invited us over to plan this service, and as I was leaving the house, Mary Ann said to me, "When you're planning that service, when the Presbyterians and the Methodists are together, why don't you ask the people to do something more participatory, something a little in addition to the ordinary things, invite them to participate in some creative way." And what we landed upon is we're inviting you to write something on that paper, and I'll give you some guidance. You can write on it during the sermon, and then at the end of the sermon, you'll have an invitation to wad it up and leave it behind. Throw it away. Our sermon today is called From the Very Beginning. I love in the sound of music where Maria teaches the children to sing. You love that part where she says, "Let's start from the very beginning." It's a very fine place to start. Do, a dear, you can say the rest, but not right now. It's a very good place to start at the beginning. On New Year's Eve, three nights ago, Reverend Sherry and I both conducted weddings on New Year's Eve, which neither of us had done before. It was a joy to bless the marriage of Nathan and Alyssa. And when we pronounced them husband and wife, the very first thing they did immediately after I said, "You're married," was we prayed. They entrusted their life together to God from the very beginning. I think that's a very fine place to start. And we have come to church on the first Sunday of a new year, giving ourselves afresh to God from the very beginning, a very fine place to start. Thank you for your hospitality to our congregation. I want you to think of moving into this new year as if you are moving to another state. About 17 million Americans moved in the past year and do about every year. The average American moves about 11 times in a lifetime today. Of course, I hope that none of you really move away in the year ahead. But imagine that you're relocating into a new situation and you want to devote yourself wholly to God in that new place. And if you're like me, you're a ways from Christian perfection. God's still working on me. There are some old ways that I wouldn't want to take with me into a new place or into the new year. I want to leave those things behind. Maybe you have some things you'd like to leave behind, like resentment, impatience, intolerance, grief, guilt, bitterness, or other things. You know your soul. We've given you this paper so you can write something that God would want you to leave behind at the start of this new year. Maybe an attitude or a negative pattern in your life. Something you'd rather not take with you, and you're sure God wouldn't want you to carry with you anymore. Now, our gospel is John 1, 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that we all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. What a great gospel lesson for the first Sunday of a new year. John echoes Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, and says in the beginning was the Word. John claims that somehow the Word that became flesh at Bethlehem had always existed with God. He is the true powerful light from God that pierces our darkness. Mary Ann and I went to the Milford Theater this week and saw a little movie you might have heard about, Star Wars: The Force Awakens. I love the scene where the lightsaber, a powerful sword with a blade of intense light, is given to the young hero, but without the blade. It's just an electronic device, a high-tech sword with no blade. He holds it for the first time, and then you hear, when he turns it on, the surround sound of the theater gives you a mighty swoosh, and the light blazes forth. A brilliant blade of light is there in his hand. Thus, into our darkness, John's gospel says, a great light has come. In 2016, some of us will find ourselves in strange territory, in an unknown world, or at least an unknown situation. We come into unchosen roles in life. It comes with the lay of the land. One dad who coached his boys in baseball and Little League used to tell them, there are some have-tos in life. Things you don't do because you want to, just some have-tos that come your way. Some of us will face ominous challenges, and I think God wants us to know today, from the very beginning of this year, that the light has come at Bethlehem and the darkness will not overcome it. Amen? We read from Jeremiah about the Jewish exile and return. It's a major narrative in the Bible, but I'm afraid many Christians feel rather unfamiliar with the exile. Most of you Presbyterians probably know it. In fact, some of you probably studied the book of Jeremiah thoroughly between Christmas and New Year's Day. But some of us Methodists were watching football during that time. So let me review the exile with you. About 1,000 years before Christ, the Jews were a united kingdom under David and then under King Solomon, his son. After that, the kingdom was divided with 10 tribes in the north, called Israel, and 2 tribes in the south, called Judah. The Bible reports on various kings of Israel and Judah for about 400 years, during which good kings led them to seek God and obey God. But bad kings led them to break their covenant with God. They disobeyed God's commandments and worshiped other gods. And throughout this period, prophets warned Israel to repent or face consequences of drought, disease, or invading armies who would take them away as captives, and they would be slaves again, as they had been in Egypt. The first major exile was when the Assyrian army defeated the northern tribes and their capital fell in 722 BC. And then, about 586 BC, the southern kingdom fell to Babylon, and thousands of Jews were taken away as exiles, away from their homeland. First, the Babylonians carried away the leaders of the city of Jerusalem, then people with wealth and skills, like the young men in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Finally, the Babylonians carried away the masses of the remaining people. Only a remnant was left in Judah to farm the conquered land and benefit the Babylonians. The holy city and the temple lay in ruins during the exile, perhaps like Ramallah or Mosul of today. The Jews lived in exile in Babylon for 70 years, where they multiplied greatly. Most of the Jewish exiles died there in captivity, but when the Persians conquered the Babylonians, the Persians freed the captive Jews, and new generations of Jews moved back to Judah around 500 BC, and there was a revival of devotion to God, and they rebuilt the temple. Jeremiah, whom Katya read earlier, was one of the prophets warning the Jews to repent of their sins, foretelling the exile would come, and promising the return that would follow the exile. After 70 years in exile, the people of Judah would be welcomed back to their hometown, which would have been destroyed. Jeremiah had a solemn message for the Jews, a warning to change their ways, but also Jeremiah offers a wonderful message of hope and eventual restoration. He seems to preach just before the exile, before they were conquered, and yet some passages in Jeremiah seem like they were written later, as if the writer is reflecting on the whole sweep of Jewish history, giving a timeless lesson written for our instruction to give us hope when we feel exiled or captive to our old ways or find ourselves in a strange land or ominous circumstances. I hope you'll write on those papers we gave you soon. The sermon isn't long. We're going to invite you after you write on it. On cue, we'll all wad up those papers together and toss them into a packing box and leave it behind before we come to the Lord's table to receive the feast of His grace that is sufficient for us. When the time came for Israel to return home from the exile, it would be a long and difficult journey. But through Jeremiah, God promises to go with them, saying, I will provide water for you as you cross the desert. I will redeem you from enemies who are too powerful for you. I will provide bountifully in the new land where I am leading you. Jeremiah calls the Jews to obedience and faithfulness in every generation. He reminds us that rebellion against God has serious consequences. Sometimes when we hang on to our anxieties, our fears, our guilt, we have signs in our own bodies. It is a cause of some of our sickness, and we are resistant to letting the grace of God cleanse us, forgive us, heal us, give us a fresh start over and over. We as Christians need to learn to let the grace flow in us, body, mind, and spirit. God has the power to redeem us and bring us home. And each time we are restored, or we start over, like today, for a new year, we are called afresh to be God's devoted people from the very beginning and to have faith that God will make a way for us and go with us as He accompanied Israel in the wilderness with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God promises to go with us through our wilderness as well. And so enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise, for the Lord is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Trust in Him to lead you in this next new phase, new stage of your life. Let us renew our relationship with God at this first communion of the new year, repenting of any way that we have rebelled against God. If we want to be better people in 2016, we must begin by relocating ourselves closer to God, admitting our rebellious heart, our resistance to the Holy Spirit, and letting Christ fill us with His powerful light, His pure, perfect love. I've written some of my problems and sins on this paper. I need bigger paper, really. Have you admitted some of yours? Have you written them down? Let us come to the table of grace and leave behind those things we should not bring with us into another year. Let us honor our Savior from the very beginning. Maybe you feel too weak to make a new start for 2016, but God's not asking you to do it on your own strength. Let us devote our lives to God as we sing verse 1 of Just As I Am, and then toss the stuff we want to leave behind into the moving boxes. Would the ushers bring those boxes forward, and let's wad these up and get rid of these things. Ushers, come on up and receive our sins and rebellious ways, the things we're leaving behind. They can't believe how short the sermon was. Neither can the Methodists.